Kamakun, Narakun, Girigo.
So today, most auspicious occasion of initiating a new member into the Sampradaya. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Evam Paramparam Prabtam Imram Rajarshayo Vidu. This knowledge is coming down into siddhic succession. This is the system. Krishna gives the knowledge to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma gives the knowledge to Narad Muni. Narad Muni gives the knowledge to Vyasadeva. In this way, through Madhvacharya and down through many generations of spiritual masters. So when someone makes this decision to actually formally take shelter of the Sampradaya, the disciplic succession, by becoming initiated, this is a very, very significant event. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Data Beach. After wandering through the universes, through millions of lifetimes, the higher planets down to the lower planets, when one is very, very fortunate to come in contact with Krishna, with a bona fide spiritual master, and receive the seed of Krishna Bhakti, then that's very, very fortunate position. So initiation means the beginning. It doesn't mean that now it's finished. To initiate something means to start it. Now you're starting your spiritual life. You're seriously, seriously starting it. You've been properly examined by other Vaishnavas in Atlanta, where you've been a member of that temple. They've examined your qualifications. And they've given us report that they have tested you and examined your qualities. They've observed your activities. And they have given us a written recommendation letter that you are qualified now to become initiated. So on their recommendation, we're accepting you as disciple into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. This Prabhupada explains very nicely the significance of initiation. In the Nectar Devotion, he says that the connection with the spiritual master is called initiation. From the date of initiation by the spiritual master, the connection between Krishna and the person cultivating Krishna consciousness is established. Without initiation by a bona fide spiritual master, the actual connection with Krishna consciousness is never performed. So it's a very, very, very important thing, this initiation. It means one is actually now connected. Of course, one has to maintain that connection. It's not that just, well, I accept Jesus and now I can do whatever I want and I'm saved. Oh, I got initiated, now I can do whatever I want and I'm saved. No. One has to remain fixed in that vow of service to the spiritual master and to Lord Sri Krishna. Throughout the entire life, one has to remain fixed in that vow of service. That fixity, that determination to remain loyal to one's guru and to Krishna, that keeps one solidly connected. And Prabhupada explains further, this is a lecture he gave in Los Angeles in January of 1974. He says, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adhau Gurvashrayam, which means to enter into the spiritual life. The first step is to accept a guru. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. Immediately. And if you continue the advice and instruction of the spiritual master or the shastra, then you become deathless, no more death. So this is a very, very significant thing. You take the initiation vow and then you continue to serve the order of the spiritual master. And by doing that, you actually enter into deathlessness, immortality. The fact is that now we are misidentifying with these material bodies. These material bodies are subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. And because of our misidentification with these bodies, we suffer so many anxieties. We feel distress. We feel duress and disturbance and difficulties because we misidentify with this body. So, Krishna consciousness means to come beyond the platform of the body, to come to the spiritual platform. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. To come out of the misconception that I am this body and come to the proper understanding that I am the eternal servant of Lord Sri Krishna. So initiation brings one or indicates that one is now making the solid commitment. It's a contract. Just like one may be very interested to study some subject matter, but when you enroll in the university, then you're committing yourself. So initiation is a very solid commitment. If we get married, we commit for one lifetime to our spouse. But initiation is eternal commitment. It's beyond. It's janme janme prabhu se. The guru is the eternal lord of the disciple, not just for one lifetime. So it's a very, very, very solid, strong commitment to become initiated disciple. It's not anything to be taken lightly. Therefore, we have such an elaborate ceremony too, because it is a very, very serious, serious commitment to become a disciple. The disciple is chanting Hari. This, it is called Harinam initiation. Spiritual master initiates the disciple into chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That chanting of the holy name of Krishna has to be done purely. In the beginning, our chanting is impure. It is called offensive chanting. And as we continue chanting, then gradually those offenses clear off. The next stage is called the clearing stage, where there's a gradual cleansing away of the offenses. And then the final stage, the third stage, is called the offenseless stage. So this is the progress. To avoid the offenses, we have to know what they are. So we'll briefly read and discuss what are the 10 offenses that have to be avoided while chanting Hare Krishna. And the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva or Lord Rama, to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. The third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, the literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. In other words, it's some exaggerated thing, not really as great as they say it is. That's the fifth offense. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. Well, the name Krishna means black, and black means dark, and dark means ignorance, so actually Krishna is ignorance. That's called giving some interpretation through, you know, grammatical analysis. Not really understanding the real meaning, but juggling, doing grammatical word jugglery, come up with some new meaning for the name of Krishna. The seventh offense is, this is very important to avoid, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. While chanting Hare Krishna, one does in fact become free of past sins. But if I'm thinking, wow, this is very good, I can chant Hare Krishna, get free of past sins, so, and now I'm free, I'll go out and do some more sinning, and then do some more chanting, very good business here. Chant and sin, chant and sin, chant and sin. It's called, what is that in Sanskrit? Nam nam balad hi yashabhudi. To commit commit sins on the strength of chanting. That is very great offense. One does that, one will never become purified. It's cheating. Trying to take advantage of the holy name to go on sinning. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. In other words, chanting Hare Krishna for some material purpose. We should simply chant to develop pure love of God. That's all. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name, we have to be discriminative to understand who is ready to hear. Of course, we try to tell everyone, because it's the greatest blessing you can do to give someone Krishna consciousness. But we have to be intelligent to see if a person is just going to become critical if we try to explain it to them. So we tell people whatever we can, but we tell them according to their level that they can hear without becoming offensive. And we actually want to tell everyone. So you have to find the ways of not going into the more, you know, high-level topics. Give some basic things for people. I mean, actually, if one is intelligent and experienced, you can find something to tell anyone on any level. Just like we say generally, if someone says, what is Krishna consciousness? We can tell them it's a simply matter of knowing who you are and being who you are. I mean, who could object to that? Know who you are and be who you are. Let's see. So not instructing the faithless doesn't mean you don't try to preach or spread Krishna consciousness. It just means you don't tell those things which people will become critical if they hear them. You tell people that God's a little blue cowherd boy, they become very angry. You see. So we have to understand what to give and how much to give with each particular person that we're trying to explain about Krishna consciousness to. That's the meaning of the ninth offense. Be discriminative and you try to preach Krishna consciousness. Don't cause people to unnecessarily criticize. And the tenth offense is not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Of course, the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that Krishna consciousness itself is so relishable, it's so ecstatic that naturally you can give up material attachments by taking the Krishna consciousness. It's a matter of a higher taste. If I give you $100 bill, you'll feel very happy. If I say, okay, give it back, you'll... If I say, here's a cashier's check for $1 million, well, now will you give me the 100 back? Oh, yes. No problem. Isn't it? I give you a cashier's check for $1 million. Will you mind parting with $100 note? Not at all. So, to give up the material attachments is not difficult because you get something better in exchange for those material attachments. And you can't hang on to those material attachments forever anyway. They're here today and gone tomorrow. Krishna consciousness means that which you can hang on to eternally and never have to give up. So we don't say you cannot be attached. We say just be intelligent to become attached to those things which are eternally beneficial for you. That is intelligence. And it is also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, you should pay attention. Focus your mind on the name Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one has to guard against these offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success. So now we'll proceed. So now the neck beads should put on. Someone put on his neck beads for him.